Hi, this is Burt Reynolds. You listen to Wiener's Barbecue, and they're not giving me a damn thing for this.
Two? Mic one? Mic three? I don't know what's going on with the mics today. I'll just have to figure it out as we go on the show today. Welcome to Wiener's Barbecue. 1.9 FM CITR Radio. This is mic one. I'm lost about what's going on here with the consoles. Nonetheless, it doesn't matter. Welcome to Wiener's Barbecue, and that was Burt Reynolds. I got him at a BC Lions game. I got him at a BC Lions game. Without further ado, here's our musicians today. You're going to be hearing them right now, then just before 5 at about 5:20 and just before 6. A guy who's, you grew up next to me, two houses down, Zach and Tom. I'm sorry, Tom. You saw, we spent way too much time setting everything up today. Without further ado, I'm very excited to hear them. Here is Lotus Child.
Thank you, Darryl.
Goddamn, you're an animal for what you said to me. You said, son, I'm leaving you the breathing world to love as well as we. Gosh, gosh, I'm cynical. Oh, I'm like a shooting spark. Yeah, every day is another chance to fade, feed the dark. I love these new winters, no chains or root closures. I can brave sail season, not risking exposure. Yeah. Tell me what's your change. It's all the same now. Since we came up, she's been a portrait of our sin. When we sweep them under rug, you can see wrinkles in her skin. But if the knife plunges, she'll be beautiful again. We wear it all. When ships sail in the north, we will build these booming ports. Raise our deck, skyscraper, land of the raven.
Thanks, guys. We'll be right back with the head coach of the UBC Thunderbirds, Milan Dragicevic. That is Lotus Child. You will hear them again just before 5 o'clock. You're listening to 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada.
Last year, CITR 101.9 FM started its very first fun drive, and the response was fantastic. You, the listening public, donated your money and your vehicles. You included CITR as the sole recipient in your wills and your estate planning. Many of you even donated your internal and vital organs to CITR. For that, we thank you, and...
We're doing it all over again!
Starting Monday, October 1st, CITR presents its second annual fund drive. Please help CITR to continue the fine quality you've come to expect from Vancouver's greatest radio station. Tune in during October 1st to the 14th to hear amazing specialty shows and the fantastic prizes you can win with your pledges. This year, CITR is going for $20,000, so please show us you care and visit www.citr.ca for more info.
Want to brighten your teeth? We've got a new toothpaste whitener for you.
Oh man, I hate radio commercials.
Well, Sam, you don't have to be a hater anymore, because CITR is not dictated by commercial dollars. Instead, we just play music, sports, spoken word, and news programming that gives listeners what they want.
That's right. We've been running for 25 years on the FM dial as the campus and community radio station. Now we need you, the listeners, to donate towards our funding drive so we can keep bringing you the best local, independent, and rockin' tunes in town.
Your chance to do so is now with our second annual fund drive.
Fund drive.
Around the corner. Call into the station in October and help us fund another great year of great music.
Support what you like and what you want to hear.
Donations will go towards renovation of the on-air studio, better production facilities for training and programming, better equipment for remote broadcast, and more.
Tune in from the 1st to the 14th of October to donate.
CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Listener-powered radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Winner's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio of Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. And once again, folks, this is our last day of funding drive for Winner's Barbecue. CITR, of course, doing it from October 1st to the 14th or 15th. Anyways, folks, all donations welcome. Give us a call. You just heard on the funding drive there, 822-8648, 822-1242. Give one of those numbers a call, and please, 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 do donate. Well, with us on the line right now, a guy who's always helpful here for us at CITR Radio, Howard Samora from the Vancouver province. And Howard, you're going to be doing some color commentary for us in women's basketball this year?
Yeah, I'm going to be partnering with Wilson Wong on select UBC women's broadcast, and I'm really excited about the opportunity to see a lot of those games because, you know, we know the quality, obviously, of Deb Huban's program has been right at the top of the country the past, you know, four or five seasons. So it's going to be really fun to get in with Wilson and call some of those games.
But, Howard, also, you know, you do everything in the city of Vancouver. You're also going to be doing some SFU games also, aren't you?
Yeah, I think they're going to have me on some of their games when I'm over there as well. You know, it's just it's great to go back and forth between the campuses, especially with the women's game, just because of the national profile that the two programs have. And you know, I obviously it won't be any surprise if those two teams are playing against each other, you know, in the national final this year.
Well, Howard, I just did a little segue there. Let's get into the game of football. It was Schrumbel 30 on the weekend. UBC and SFU played on SFU campus, the first time SFU ever had a game on their campus. And Howard, a great game for UBC, not a good game at all for SFU. 32-2. It's even hard to have come out of your tongue. UBC beat SFU in the Schrumbel. Howard, was it even a contest on the weekend?
No, it really, really wasn't. And that's the unfortunate part. I mean, SFU's, you know, 2 points, Daryl, as you saw, coming off the safety early in that game and really not able to muster any kind of offense the rest of the way. And I think Dave Johnson, the former UBC head coach, now coaching at SFU, I mean, he had no other avenue but just to call it what it was after the game. And, I mean, he basically told us, you know, the offense was pitiful from the Simon Fraser standpoint. And, you know, he called the game an embarrassment from an offensive standpoint. And, you know, I think obviously there's some pretty disappointed people at SFU based on that effort against UBC in a showcase game, you know, at the top of Burnaby Mountain.
Yeah, Howard, I don't have the clip with me, but we were playing it all weekend long during our hockey broadcast. Dave Johnson not happy at all. I mean, he gave you guys some pretty good quotes there for your articles, eh?
He really did. I mean, you know, I asked him, you know, didn't you think your guys would be up for this game, just given the fact that it's the first time in, you know, in the 42-year history of the program that it's going to be there? And his quote, the way he finished his quote, I don't know what to tell you other than recruiting season is obviously well underway, and we'll go find some guys who have got some passion if that's what we need to do. So So clearly, you know, he's sending a message there, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how Coach Johnson looks at certain facets of his team with just two more games remaining, Daryl. Do you start to really give big roles to the young players that are going to be around next year? And maybe we're talking, you know, about the quarterback position here. Maybe Jason Marshall. I mean, I don't know any kind of inside information, but you have to start to think that they have to start to get the young players ready for next season because, you know, at 0-6, obviously, you're already thinking about next year.
Yeah, I mean, Howard, just one more question on SFU. This is a UBC show, but you got to bring up the stat, Howard. 23 losses in a row. I mean,
wow.
What do you say to that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, though. I was looking at the, you know, the offensive per-game average and defensive per-game average for last year versus this year earlier today. And, you know, that offense, I think it's scoring at about a point a game more than it was last year. But the defense is tremendously improved. I mean, they've cut, you know, I believe it was something like 24.5 points off of what they were averaging allowed last year in terms of points per game allowed. So they've made some strides, just not enough to get in there and really count a win. But I still think that program is headed in the right direction.
Okay. Well, we'll see next year, hey?
Yeah.
On to UBC, Howard, 32-2 winners. You know, when you got a big game like that, there's the big loser, but now we'll talk about the game, the big winner. UBC now leads the series 15-14-1. They lead the Schrumble series, that is. 15-14-1. Chris Jinsky finally got back on track for UBC, 171 yards on 24 carries. Mark McVay, decent game at quarterback statistically, 12 for 21, 154 yards, touchdown and an INT. UBC's got a big game this weekend, Howard. It looks like they're going to make the playoffs, but we still don't know, but a big game coming up this weekend in Manitoba. How close is UBC to the Manitoba's Regina Saskatchewans right now?
Well, I mean, I think they showed when they played Saskatchewan, you know, at Thunderbird a couple of weeks ago, Daryl, that defensively they can be in the ballpark. You know, that is the huge question now is obviously the freshman quarterback McVay, I thought he managed the game really well on Saturday, didn't take any big risks. I think he was, you know, a pretty high percentage of what he was trying to do out there, and I think that's what they need. I think the fact that the running game came back is just going to help open things up for a great crew of wide receivers. There's some very, you know, experienced weapons there. So I think if the offense can even take a step and a half forward from where they are right now, you know, and get a little bit closer to the efficiency of that defense, they're not that far off because that Saskatchewan game was, you know, pretty darn close heading down the stretch drive of the fourth quarter. I think that's the kind of mindset UBC has to take out onto the road this week.
Yeah, UBC will be in Manitoba on Saturday. That game will be on Shaw TV. And Howard, with the running game, I mean, Coach Gavaya, he's been telling us not very pleased with the play of his offensive line so far this season.
Yeah, and he made some changes, you know, a couple of games ago, and I think maybe the group started to come together. It's pretty hard to tell when you're playing a team like Simon Fraser that hasn't won in a few seasons just how effective that group is going to be, you know, come the weekend in Manitoba. But I think the main thing here is that everyone on that team knows Coach Gavaya is not going to stand still. He is going to make changes from week to week depending on the performance, and I think that kind of lights the fire under guys. And I think there's a real sense of urgency right now as they head into their last two games that, you know, there's nothing really static about the group that he's going to march out there week to week. So really everybody, you know, playing for their starting positions every week.
And Mark McVay, your thoughts on the young quarterback coming in, Doug Goldsby injured, he can't play anymore. Your thoughts on the true freshman and his play so far for UBC?
Well, pretty poised, I think. And, you know, understands the Canadian game so well because, I mean, this kid's never played a four-down football game in his life, coming from the community ranks right into, to the UBC campus. So, you know, I think he's got a huge upside. I think what Doug Goldsby showed us this year as well was a huge upside. And I think, you know, obviously, we're not looking to next year yet, but if we do, you got to say that quarterback situation is looking, you know, pretty solid there at UBC with what they have in those two guys. So I think McVay is pretty poised kid for a guy who was in grade 12 last year, you know, kind of facing the live bullets out there right now this early in his career. I think he showed some great poise, and we saw, you know, snippets of that on Saturday as well.
So, Howard, you know, the big question is you mentioned next year, but this year for UBC, because a guy like Chris Jinsky will not be back for UBC next season. How close, not how close is UBC to reaching the upper echelon of the Canada West, but what do they have to do to get there?
Well, I just think they have to have I think they've shown us consistency on the defensive side of the ball this year for the most part, Darrell. I just think there has to be more of a varied attack, you know, in that offense, and that means that running game just can't be there, you know, one week and not there the other. They have to bring that same attack with a guy like Chinsky over the final two games of the season. Hey, the only thing that you're going to measure this team by this year is what do they do on the first week of the playoffs. It's been their nemesis for how many seasons in a row now, go out on the road opening week of the playoffs and not really able to get the job done from the lower seeding standpoint. And they're going to be in a similar position, obviously, this year if they get into the playoffs. So, I mean, they're just going to have to bring, as they say, the old cliche, the A game when those playoffs begin. They're going to have everybody playing well. They're going to have to hope for an upset. And I think that's how you begin to grow as a program, get over that huge hump of winning that first-round playoff game.
Yeah, Howard, last time UBC won a playoff game, correct me if I'm wrong, it was a home game versus Calgary. It was a rain-soaked game. Akbal Singh was the running back for UBC. Sean Olson was the quarterback. Was it 2000 or 99? What was it?
I think you're in the ballpark, but when you mention those two names, I mean, clearly that's, you know, you could say Chris Chinsky, you know, has similar credentials to an Akbal Singh, but, I mean, from a quarterbacking standpoint, you don't have Sean Olson there to bail you out. I mean, they're going in with some young people at skill positions, and, I mean, whatever ends up happening this year in terms of building for next year, the quarterbacks are going to get great experience.
Yeah, they lost to Saskatchewan that year in the Hardy Cup final. Just to tell you how long ago it was, Howard, Jamie Borum, who I think is on his second or at least third CFL team, killed UBC in that Hardy Cup final. So
I think I was off covering the NBA in those days. I wasn't even covering the UBC Thunderbirds. But, yeah, I mean, that's what you want to get back to.
Right. And, Howard, one last thing. Thanks so much for doing this. I don't have much time to get into them today. I'll try at the end of the show. UBC men's hockey on the weekend sweeping the University of Alberta.
But first, thanks for bringing it up so I can correct myself for the mistake I made of calling Alberta the defending CIS champs. We'll get that out of the way. I was panicked on deadline. But nonetheless, a great effort against the Golden Bears, who have been their ultimate nemesis, you know, over the entire reign of Milan Dragicevic, to come through with a weekend sweep. Amazing the things that Milan is doing with that program. And, you know, I think he's finally going to start to see it on a consistent basis this season.
We got to get people into that stadium, Howard. I was there on the Saturday game. We did that. We did the Friday and Saturday, but I don't know.
Enjoyed the call, was listening to it, you know, on the Friday anyway. I caught the games. And, yeah, I mean, I really think it's the big secret out there on the Point Grey campus is just how good that hockey team is.
Yeah, we're talking, I don't know if three digits was hit, so just have to say that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it deserves a bigger audience than that, obviously.
Awesome. Howard Samora from the Vancouver province. Howard, thanks a bundle for doing this. Really
Anytime,
do appreciate it.
Darryl. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. All right, that was Howard Samora from the Vancouver province. We'll bring the boys right back in right here, Tom and Zach. 2 Point Grey alumni, no?
No, Prince of Wales.
Prince of Wales?
Tom was Point Grey.
Tom was Point Grey? You went to Prince of Wales?
Yeah, I did.
Why? You went out of district for that.
I was in the mini.
You're in the mini. Okay. I'm trying my best here. Once again, Lotus Child playing music with us all day long. Love having them on here. We're doing, for the first time, we've been playing music since the 4th of September. I think you guys are the sixth band that's come on here, and this is the first time we've had a live keyboard on. So I apologize, Tom, that you're our guinea pig today. I do apologize for that. Awesome. Okay, guys, here's another song from the band Lotus Child. When we're back, we're going to have, if I can get a hold of him, Julio Caravata from the BC Lions Radio Network. We're going to have him on at 5 at about 5:20. It's going to be BJ Bash from Nevada, Las Vegas with some NFL talk. And then at 5:40, this is my big exciting thing of the day, we're talking Rock, Paper, Scissors World Championship. Graham Walker from the World Federation of the Rock, Paper, Scissors World Championship. They have their 10,000-person entry tournament this Saturday. There's a $10,000 grand prize in Toronto. Graham's going to be on the show to tell us all about that. Did you know that if you throw 3 rocks in a row, it's called a hammer?
Yeah, I did.
You know?
Three papers is a bureaucrat.
Well, that now I'm a little more ready for the interview. I can throw that one out there. Thanks, Zach. All right, here they are, Lotus Child.
Guillotines
daunting over perfect scenes, poised above my head. Lids, they act like enemies, they'll bring you in a breeze. Painted nails on broken feet, strangle every step. Just don't jump too high. Frail girl, it's not your place to look for more than this. Just don't jump too high. Frail girl, it's not your place to look for more than this. More than this. Da-na, da-na. By worms and crows, only tags remain. Swimming in your blood, they seize the possibilities. Always gives your feet one knees. Darling, won't you please? Just don't jump too high. Frail girl, it's not your place to look for more than this. Just don't jump too high. Frail girl, it's not your place to look for more than this. Lids over my ears, over my eyes, over my pots and pans, bring me to a lids over my ears, over my eyes, over my pots and pans, bring me to a bowl. Jump too high. Frail girl, it's not your place to look. More than this, just don't jump too high. Frail girl, it's not your place to look for more than this, more than this.
Awesome, guys. We'll be right back with, if I can find his number, Julio Caravata from the BC Lions Radio Network.
OMFG, I can't believe it's already that time of the year again.
The time where Mom makes her special pumpkin pie?
No, the time when CITR has their annual fun drive.
Oh, right, sweet. Last year I donated a liver.
I donated my car.
I donated a few dollars.
All donations are helpful and will go towards continuing to run the radio station and all the various different aspects of running such a rad, independent, label-supportive place.
Fun Drive will be held from October 1st to the 14th. Call in or walk into the station to donate and know that you were a part of supporting another great year of great music.
CITR.
Heard about CATR's second annual funding drive? It's a great way to help out the station that keeps you posted on all the latest independent and underground local musical talent. Now's your chance to donate and keep us on air for another fantastic year of lyrical melodies.
Donations will go towards new equipment and regular upkeeping of our radness, which ultimately transcends back to you, the listeners, in form of sweet music.
Call our line between October 1st and the 14th and donate a piece of your heart.
And wealth.
Note, your donations will get you some free CITR stuff.
Yeah!
That means t-shirts, hoodies, bags, CDs, a friend's card, and more.
Wow! Reach us at 604-822-8648. Once again, that's 604-822-8648.
I totally love this radio station.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Winner's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CIT Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. And with us on the line right now from work, you're a working man today.
Yes, sir.
Look at you go. So far, so good. Because just so everybody's listening, Julio Caravata, the firefighter, if an emergency does hit, we pray it doesn't, but if it does, you got to leave.
Yes.
That's where we're at right now.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
So, Julio, I do have to say, though, that you know you were my third choice today for this spot.
Well, no, I didn't know. I thought I was your second, not your third.
I also called Jeff Francis today.
Oh, well, that's not bad company then.
No, and I called him, and he can only do it next week. He was in the middle of packing to go to Arizona.
Wow.
Getting ready to pitch game one of the National League Championship Series.
Yeah, what kind of a thrill is that for him, huh?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I tuned into this game against Philly, and you know, there's so much more interest now that you know you got a local kid in there. It's a lot more fun to watch baseball. Not that you know, I really enjoy playoff baseball too, but there's an extra incentive too with Steve Francis still in it for sure.
Don't say Steve Francis, Julio.
Oh, it's Jeff San Francis. Excuse me, Steve Francis.
Big difference in the Vancouver market
just,
on that.
Not just a big difference, a gigantic difference. Excuse me,
yeah,
Jeff
a little bit, but with
thank Jeff, you for correcting me.
With Jeff Francis, Julio, you got to understand here, UBC campus here. I mean,
well, buddy,
come on. No? I mean...
I. You know what? This is bad luck. I got to go.
Oh, you got to go?
I got to go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, Julio. Go get him.
Sorry, Daryl.
That's wild.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. I shouldn't be laughing. That's terrible. Julio Caravata on the line right there. Firefighter just getting called in. Just like that. So that's the end of our segment for this week. I shouldn't be laughing. I apologize for that. Anyways, folks, we'll now tell you about our fun drive spectacular we're going to be doing right now here on CITR. We did it this week and last week's here all week long at CITR Radio. Give us a call up, 822-8648, 822-8648, or 822-1242, 822-1242. We are doing our fun drive for our second consecutive year here at CITR. We have lots of needs here. Our Studio B, where we do lots of editing and everything, that needs to be renovated. We need to purchase a computer, install a digital editing suite, buy a new console, turntables, sound insulation, CD, mini disc, and tape players. And we want to add 3 new digital editing stations to the newsroom. We have lots of help needed here at CITR. And, you know, when you're a non-commercial station and you're doing the best you can like we are down here, we kind of need a little, you know, we're just asking once a year. And if you can help us out, everything would be appreciated. So give us a call up right now, 822-8648 or 822-1242, 822-8648 or 822-1242. And on Wiener's Barbecue, if you're going to donate during my show, the next person who calls up, I have two signed photos left right now. I have two signed photos left, one by Yvon Cornoyer, Hall of Famer for the Montreal Canadiens, and the other, I am... You know, you think you wouldn't still be hungover from Friday. That's where I'm at today. I mean, I'm paying for Friday night. Anyways, the other individual I have to give away, Glenn Hall, I believe is who it is, Hall of Fame goaltender for the Chicago Blackhawks. Give us a call up, 822-1242 or 822-8648. And if you donate during my show, the two people, the next two people who donate will get signed photographs, your choice. Give them away till I'm gone. Yvon Cornoyer and Glenn Hall. Well, we ran out of Julio. We're going to be doing a little BC Lions talk. So that's out the window. Big win versus Winnipeg on the weekend. And lots going on in other sports though right now. And, of course, Major League Baseball playoffs. You mentioned Julio and I talking about Jeff Francis for the Colorado Rockies. I tried to have Jeff on today, and I actually talked to him this morning. Jeff Francis, unable to come on today because he was in the middle of packing to go to Arizona to pitch game one of the National League Championship Series. So, Jeff, I forgive you. He actually has to miss his brother's wedding. Get this. His brother's wedding is this weekend in Croatia. And Jeff Francis, who will be pitching for Colorado, 17-game winner in the regular season, you know, pitched for UBC. He was decent his first year, dynamite his second year, and just the slightest bit less dynamite his third year here at the Thunderbird campus. I know. I saw his games all those years. Jeff Francis, 13-game winner, 14-game winner the last 2 years. I think it might have been 14. I don't know which years he did it. 17-game winner this year for Colorado after getting off to a very bad start for the Rockies. And I know I drafted him in my baseball pool, and we dropped him. He was doing so bad, Justin and I. But he will be pitching against Brandon Webb. At least top two. It's going to be him or Jake Peavy. It's probably going to be Peavy. But one of the top pitchers, last year's Cy Young Award winner for the Arizona Diamondbacks. That game will be on, what's the date here? Thursday, October the 11th at 5:30. Jeff Francis for the Colorado Rockies will be pitching against Brandon Webb. And I actually had a very strange experience last week, as the other guy I tried having on the show today was Seth Rogen, who hosted Saturday Night Live on the weekend from Knocked Up. And I don't know if you listen to my show, but I've had a bunch of the guys from Superbad, or I had McLovin on the show from Superbad. He came on. They got me him. Seth texted me today saying he couldn't do it. And I actually called Seth last week to see if he could come on the show. And he was in the middle of rehearsing a Saturday Night Live skit, so he couldn't come on. On the TV at the same time, Jeff Francis was pitching against the Philadelphia Phillies in a playoff game. So, you know, it was one of those things you look, oh, here's Seth rehearsing a skit for Saturday Night Live, and here's Jeff Francis pitching against the Arizona Diamondbacks in a playoff game. He's starting in Philadelphia. He got the win that day, gave up 2 earned runs in 6 innings. Home runs to Pat Burrell and Aaron Rowan. And, you know, you think to yourself, you know, all right, what have I done with my life? but the beat goes on. Anyways, baseball, the big story on the weekend. It's Jeff locally, but, you know, if you want to talk worldwide or nationwide or American news-wide, it was yesterday in New York, in the Bronx, the New York Yankees getting defeated by the Cleveland Indians. The Yankees now eliminated from the playoffs. The score was 6-4. The Yankees got down 6-1 early, and they tried to chip away. They got 2 or 3 solo home runs in that game. Later on, A-Rod finally hit one. I think it was the 7th or 6th or 8th inning. No, I think it was the 6th or 7th inning to get him down 6-3. His first RBI in the postseason since the year 2004. And if there's one thing about the Yankees is, I do, of course, you know, do not root for the New York Yankees, but if there's one thing about them, they are great to watch. It's just, you know, all the big names and pitching and hitting, and you love to root against them, and they play in Yankee Stadium, and it's always exciting. That's what, you know, that's the one good thing I like about not having a, that's one thing I like, I should say, about not having a salary cap in a sport, is you get great teams and big payroll teams and a team to hate like the New York Yankees. But they lost again. And they have not won the World Series since the year 2000. And that is 3 years in a row now. They have been knocked out in the divisional series. And it all goes back. It all goes back when you look at it. Ever since they've blown that 3-0 lead against the Boston Red Sox in the 2004 American League Championship Series. It has all come back to that. They have been in a major postseason slide since then. The big talk for the New York Yankees is Joe Torre going to come back for the Yankees and manage? What are they going to do with a guy like Jorge Posada? Roger Clemens, he's gone. He did not have a very good year, and I don't know if you saw him pitch in that playoff game. It just wasn't happening for the Rocket, and it's just not really happening for the Rocket anymore. Mike Mussina, the guy's making like $15 million a year. Couldn't even last in the rotation. They give this guy Kayagawa. I don't know if you know this guy, Daisuke Matsuzaka from the Boston Red Sox. He's their big ace pitcher and the big guy. They had to give his Japanese team like $50 million even to negotiate with the guy. Well, Daisuke had a good year for Boston. The Yankees lost out on him, so they go for this guy Kayagawa, okay? The reason you've never heard of Kayagawa is although the Yankees gave him about $45 million, he's not even in Major League Baseball right now. He's been pitching in the minor leagues for the Yankees. Chin-Ming Wong, he's good. Andy Pettit, he's good. But, hey, that's a lot of pitching. That's a lot of money for not much. They got another guy, Carl Pavano, making about $10 million a year for the Yankees. He doesn't pitch either. He's been injured since they gave him a big contract. So will be a revamped New York Yankees rotation next year. Joe Torre, I don't know if you have him back. I don't think you do. I mean, I really like Joe Torre. And I watched his press conference after the game, and he's a good guy. You know, you like to hear what he says, and obviously a great leader. But, you know, let's face it, they didn't have a very good year. They were in major danger. If they didn't get red hot in August and September, they don't even make the playoffs this year. And you got to wonder, you know, how long do you stick with Joe Torre? And A-Rod is the very intriguing question. I don't think Torre should be back. You know, you got to just change it up. You know, maybe it's him. I think you fire the GM too, but whatever. Definitely. He's the guy signing these pitchers for kajillions of dollars a year that can't do nothing. But the big question is A-Rod, who's going to be the American League MVP this year. No doubt about that. Got his first RBI in the postseason since 2004. And he got it in the fourth game of this one, the game the Yankees lost when they were already down 6-3. It was a solo home run in like the bottom of the sixth or seventh. I think it was the bottom of the seventh. That was the first RBI A-Rod got since the Red Sox series. And, you know, you look at A-Rod, he was brilliant on Seattle, but as soon as they got rid of him, Seattle became a better team than they ever were. That was the team that won 116 games in the regular season and Ichiro and all that going on and Edgar. Well, they had Edgar before. Okay. Then he goes to Texas. They never do anything. Then he goes to New York and they haven't done anything since he got there. Now, A-Rod, you can't blame him. But, you know, one thing you hear about A-Rod, this is what I've heard about A-Rod, is he likes to stay in his own hotel room. You know, maybe he just doesn't get his other players, his teammates, to play up to the level. You know, maybe he's not the leader. Maybe, I don't know. You blame a guy for that, but whatever. So that was very fascinating, though, on the weekend. And I watched it last night, and whoo, Yankees out. Yankees out. So it'll be Boston and Cleveland. Exciting to see those teams play. I do not like Boston either. I think, you know, whatever. And happy to see Arizona beat the Cubs. Cubs haven't won a World Series since 1908. You know, I don't know if you follow the Cub curses, but it's always said about the curse of the Billy Goat. Well, it's not the curse of the Billy Goat. It's the curse of Fred Merkel. And the Fred Merkel story is as follows. I've said this on the show years and years ago, but I'll say it again now. Fred Merkel was a first baseman for the New York Baseball Giants in 1908. And in 1908, the Chicago Cubs and the New York Giants were in the middle of one of the great pennant races of all time. This is in 1908. They didn't start playing the World Series till 1903. So, you know, maybe the first great pennant race. Anyways, they're having a game at the end of the season in New York. I don't think a stadium is built at this point. The game's in New York. Well, whoever the Giant guy is, it's first and second, two out or something like that in the bottom of the ninth inning. Big end of the season game, Cubs and Giants. And this is at the time, folks, where there's no playoff. Whoever won the World Series, all the way up to 69 this happened, whoever won the World Series played the other team in the series. The winner of the AL played the winner of the NL. So no playoff. So it's boom or bust. So the pennant race is everything. All right. So the Giant guy gets a hit. The guy from third or second, wherever he was, comes around to score, and the Giants win the game and most likely the pennant. Well, Johnny Evers, the shortstop for the Chicago Cubs, notices that Fred Merkel has not touched, the guy on first base, has not touched second base. What happened was Fred Merkel's running to second base. The crowd starts storming onto the field, as they did in those days, and he just booked to the dugout. He wanted to get out of there for his own safety. Well, according to the rules of baseball, Fred Merkel is still in play to get from first to second base. So Johnny Evers, I think they ripped it from a – I think what happened was the giant third base coach saw what the Cubs were trying to do, took the ball, threw it into the stands. A giant fan took the ball, walked home with his trophy, but then the Cub fans went after him, mugged him for the ball, and they were able to relay it with the crowd filled with people to Johnny Evers, who jumped up and down the base declaring that Fred Merkel was out. It took the National League 2 days, I heard. This is 100 years ago, so what do I know? I'm going from what I've heard. To come up with their decision, they declared the game tied. They declared the game tied to be made up at the end of the season if needed, the last game. Well, sure enough, the Cubs and Giants tied. And the Cubs beat the Giants in the playoff game. Fred Merkel, it was known as, it sounds perverse today, but it's known as Fred Merkel's boner. I guess they weren't into the whole, that's what it's called. Fred Merkel's boner. Anyways, the Cubs won. They won the World Series that year. I think they beat the Tigers. Could be wrong. Point is, they have not won the World Series since. Everybody says the curse of the Billy Goat. Well, maybe Fred Merkel was that goat. Reincarnated. Okay, nonsense talk there. All right, everybody, you're listening to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio. Once again, it's our Fun Drive Day Spectacular. If you enjoyed that rant I just gave, you should give us a call up and give us some money, 822-8648 or 822-1242, 822-8648 or 822-1242. Other big news in sports this weekend, Marion Jones. I don't know if you saw that. Wow. Admitted to doing steroids before the 2000 Olympics. She's been denying that for 8 years now. Well, they caught her. She might be going to jail for perjuring herself in front of a federal grand jury or something like that. And they're making her give back her Olympic gold medals. So that was the other big news on the weekend. Happened yesterday, and there you have it. So she sucks. That's all there is to it. All right, folks, we got another song coming up here from Lotus Child. You'll hear them again just before 6 o'clock, closing out the show. When we're back, it'll be a little NFL talk with my main man from Las Vegas, BJ Bass. You ready for another?
Thank you, Joe.
It started with a sandcastle, 2 days washed up by tomorrow. One night the mark was made, seared in your flesh with canola oil. These days are piling up like bricks, walls blocking off the sun. I miss you. Oh, call it what you like, my shaky memory. We knew it from the top, we're deep sea. On every bus I take, there's an empty seat, there's an empty stare in every street light. And the city lights are full of colors, colors dawning in the day. Trashy night in the sky and a rainbow of grays. These days are piling up like bricks. Walls blocking off the sun. I miss you. Oh, call it what you like, my shaky memory. We knew it from the top, we're deep sea. Oh. empty house evenings. My dreams are haunted by ghostly pages that I can't fill. These days are piling up like bricks.
About sports.
Bunny.
Hey, I'm hopping down to CITR. Didn't you hear they're having their second annual funding drive?
Oh, well, you can just call them. Their phone number is 604-822-1242 or 604-822-8648.
Yeah, well, I'm going down to pick up my gifts for donating.
Good idea! They're giving away CDs and shirts and friends cards and so much more. You know, Rabbit, cigarettes are bad for you.
What do you know? Out of my way, stupid girl. I'm heading down to CITR!
So call CITR today and help the station to continue bringing you the best of the best of independent various music artists.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Winner's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And one of the exciting things about the NFL right now is we're in the middle of bye weeks right now. And, you know, for the average fan, that may not mean anything or, you know, it just means a few less games a week. But for the fantasy footballer, it definitely means a lot. And a guy who just found out he has to play Dante Culpepper as his quarterback this weekend is B.J. Bass from Nevada, Las Vegas. As B.J., you got Matt Leinart, Jay Cutler, who's on a bye, and Dante Culpepper. And what did we just learn about Matt Leinart? What are you reading right now?
Going to be out for the year.
He's out for the year.
He is out for the year. And listen, as a fantasy football player who has Matt Leinart, obviously that's not a good thing. For the Arizona Cardinals, it probably is a good thing. I mean, the guy was not playing good this year. You know, I wasn't alone in thinking that his learning curve was going to have picked up and moved at a faster pace. And obviously with the first 5 weeks of the season under his belt and really nothing impressive to show for it, you know, Arizona's been moving the ball well with Kurt Warner at quarterback. And, you know, if it wasn't Matt Leinart and all of his pedigree in USC and the high draft pick and, you know, the last year, you know, I think that I don't know that we would have seen that two-quarterback system that Ken Whisenhunt was using in Arizona, kind of moving Warner and Leinart in and out of the game. I think there's probably a lot of people in the Arizona locker room that are very quietly happy that Leinart's out for the year.
And BJ, you know, I'm the guy who went 6 years keeping Michael Vick, waiting for him to come around as an NFL passer. That's me, right? That's me.
Yes, that was you.
I mean, you know, we've been doing our pool now for about 7 years, and what I'm trying to talk about here is, as far as finding that great quarterback statistically and even quarterbacks in general that are going to deliver, I mean, it has been Peyton Manning and really nobody else. I mean, Tom Brady's been good, but early in his career, and really his first 4 or 5 years, only the last couple of years, he became a real prolific passing yardage statistical quarterback. Roethlisberger's not there yet. Mark Bulger was there, but he's gone to crap. Dante Culpepper was there. He's, you know, on his second, third team now. Minnesota dropped him, and then Miami, it didn't work out. You know, that's going on. I mean,
he's also on his third knee as well.
It's tough to find that quarterback, eh?
Well, and Darryl, I think you hit it on the head, is the consistency. And you look at somebody like Drew Brees, who last year had an amazing season, put up huge numbers. You know, everyone thought this was the guy. If anyone can kind of equal Peyton Manning and what he does at the quarterback position, that was going to be Drew Brees, and Drew Brees has been terrible this year. So I think it's the consistency at that position, and you know, you look at all the injuries this year, and it almost seems to me, and I don't know if it's just me, it almost seems that there's more parity this year in the league, you know, than ever before, and all of the injuries, and I think football is becoming a harder game.
Well, here's my theory with injuries, and, you know, tell me if I'm a crackpot or not, Beej, is, you know, the players are getting bigger and stronger, but sure, ligaments and bones stay the same.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that's absolutely a big reason for it. And also the other part of that, too, Darryl, is, you know, the NFL, as it becomes more and more of a business, it becomes more and more of a year-round job for these guys. You know, you can't tell me that 20 years ago, you know, Bradshaw in the offseason was doing anything other than sitting in Texas, drinking beer, and maybe doing some hunting. You know, because I guarantee you that's all he was doing. Now you look at the guys this, you know, in this era, and it's a 12-month job. I mean, if you were not spending the offseason working out and working on your body and you know, working on the tools you need to succeed as mental as well as physical, you know, you also kind of look at that grind as well and how bodies just break down. You know, a body can only do so much. We are all human.
Yeah, I mean, Beej, you're talking to a guy who I've had Cadillac his whole career, Cadillac Williams, and that, you know, you're looking at a potential career-ending injury.
You mean his whole year and a half career?
2.5 years. 2 years. Actually, no, you're looking at about, because he's been injury-prone his whole career, but, you know, who knows? And, you know, Beej, you mentioned that there's parity in the NFL. There are the true top teams, but I don't know. Have you ever seen a week in the NFL where there were so many fumbles and interceptions and touchdowns by defense and kick returns and just crazy plays as this weekend? It wasn't great football we saw. It was just crazy football. That's how I describe week 5.
Well, it was also very entertaining football, and extremely entertaining football to watch. And at the end of the day, I would say that the NFL probably loves that, and that's probably a good thing for the league because it brings people into the game, and people watch the games. They want to tune in, and I mean, that the game with on Monday night, Dallas and Buffalo, I mean, what a football game. That had to be the game of the year so far.
What the hell was that, by the way? Dallas 25-24. Did Buffalo really lose? They didn't really lose that one, did they?
I got to tell you, you know, obviously, you know, Being from Vancouver and the Canucks and what was the Grizzlies, and we've never really been a particularly lucky sports town, but all of a sudden I feel so much better because I'm not from Buffalo. I mean, these guys, they just can't catch a break, whether it be hockey, football, whatever it is. I mean, these guys, unbelievable that they lost that game. Listen, obviously they had that game in control, and for Dallas to come back and get an opportunity to win, Buffalo did things wrong, you know, the onside kick, the, you know, allowing the sidelines to be open on that last pass play to get him into field goal range, and some really conservative play calling by Dick Geron. Well, surprise, surprise. Well, they had the ball in the fourth quarter. I mean, these guys, they really didn't stay aggressive with their play calling. And listen, I mean, the offense only did so much. Buffalo scored all of their points on defense or special teams, but, you know, You have to be able to kill the clock. You have to be able to move the ball, and Buffalo was unable to do that, and kept giving Dallas chances to win the game which they did do. What do you think the headlines would have read, though, if Dowell didn't come back to win after T.O.'s two drop balls?
Well, I actually, Beej, I got to say, I only saw the two-point conversion. I was watching the baseball game. I was watching the Yankees get eliminated. You know me.
It's a dying sport.
Well, I'll tell you this. Football's happy that the Yankees are out. I'll put it to you that way.
Yeah, well, the Cubs as well, even the Phillies. T.O., I can't even comprehend because it was so funny. You know, as Romo keeps throwing these interceptions, and Romo, what, threw six picks and or five or six picks?
Five picks,
the ball
yeah.
As well.
Five picks, four in the first half.
You could watch T.O., and you know, 2 weeks ago we talked about how we've seen a different T.O. this year, and it's been a calmer T.O. and more of a team-friendly T.O., and with each, like, mounting interception, you could see it like a volcano just kind of coming. And then, you know, he drops the two-point conversion that could have tied the game and then drops another one that, you know, obviously they ended up getting those yards back but could have cost Dallas the game again.
There you go.
It's like all of a sudden, you know, he's yelling at, you know, you see him, like, ready to yell at Romo and you see him about ready to go off and then no one to blame but himself. It was kind of nice to see.
I did actually see both of those drops. I was more stunned that the game was still going on, to be perfectly honest. What I felt real bad about for Buffalo, though, Beej, is there's a football team that's 1-3. You know, they're in the same division as the Patriots. They're not winning a division title this year. That crowd, all they wanted, I mean, they were so into it. And I was flicking back and forth sometimes from the baseball game, but it's Buffalo. I mean, maybe pound for pound, of course, it's Green Bay in football, but do not underestimate the fans in Buffalo. Great fans, and all they wanted was a win there. You know, they know their team's not winning the Super Bowl. They just wanted to beat Dallas on Monday night, get the big upset. I mean, that's I hear you. They're a little disappointed there right now.
I mean, I can't. I don't think that there's a word that there's like an unluckier city as far as sports goes. I mean, they lose four Super Bowls in a row, which is even unheard of today. I mean, the fact they got to four Super Bowls is absolutely incredible. And, you know, Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed. I mean, that team and what they did was amazing. But to lose four Super Bowls in a row, two of them by a missed field goal as time expires, to lose the Stanley Cup because Brett Hall kicks the pocket while he's standing in the crease.
No, he didn't kick it. He had his foot in the crease.
It's unbelievable. I mean, how bad luck can one city have in sports?
Well, if you compare them to Vancouver, year one expansion, they spun a wheel. The winner got Gilbert Perreault. The loser gets Dale Tallon. Canucks got Dale Tallon, and Buffalo got Gilbert Perreault, so there you go. Maybe if the Canucks were in as many sports. I mean, Beej, the Canucks, we don't even have our basketball team anymore, so.
Yeah, no, true. Yeah. And like I said, you know, it hasn't been easy in Vancouver. I was in Madison Square Gardens last week, actually, and it still hurt, man. It really brought back some old wounds because everywhere you look, it was 94 and Messier lifting the cup, and it still hurts, man. It really does.
Beej, worst interception on the weekend, Trent Edwards for Buffalo. I don't know the Dallas guy who caught it when they were up 24-16 late in the third quarter, about to go up 11 they were in the red zone of Dallas, or Brett Favre, literally when Green Bay had the game in hand. I think they might have been up, were they up 10 points at the time or something? And he just shoveled the ball on third down and 5 from his own 20-yard line to Brian Urlacher, who couldn't have been more than 8 feet away from him, right into Urlacher's chest. Chicago gets a touchdown the next play. They end up winning the game. What was the worst interception?
I mean, I think you'd have to say Buffalo, just because, you know, this kid comes off the bench. It's his second NFL start. He wins his first one. All of a sudden, there's promise in Buffalo. You know, it looks like he's going to lead him to a victory on Monday night. And, you know, obviously it was an ill-advised throw, but this guy's really young and really showed a lot of poise. And it was just, you know, it was a bad throw, but I think it was bigger because we've seen Brett Favre do that so many times before. And for all of Brett Favre's brilliance at the quarterback position, you know he's going to do a couple plays like that during a game. And more often than not, you know, the ball will fall to the turf or nothing will come out of it. And every now and then, it got picked off and you know, kind of the momentum swings in the other direction. You know, I think it was a worse for Buffalo because, you know, Buffalo now goes on to a bye. And, I mean, it's, you got 2 weeks thinking about what could have been. You know, that's really got to hurt a team. You can't really imagine that Buffalo is going to win a lot of games this year. I mean, that I would think that that has to affect them for, you know, at least a couple weeks, a little hangover from that game. You know, Green Bay had the game in hand. It was really a game they should have won. You know, James Jones puts two balls on the turf, the receiver fumbles twice. You know, Green Bay still had stuff that they did well in that game. And, you know, Chicago, you saw a little bit of a return of the Chicago defense, especially in the second half. You know, got some of their injured guys back. Tillman's return in the as a defensive back, obviously, the guy, you know, caused two fumbles. So, you know, I think that Green Bay really can take some things from that game and continue to move forward. But at the same time, I mean, obviously, winning that game and putting, you know, a three-game gap between them and Chicago in the division would have been huge. That being said, there's a lot of season left, and if Green Bay is going to actually do something this year, they still have time to do it.
No, and I'll agree with you, Beej, is, you know, that's what you get for Brett Favre. You know you're getting that, and they've lived and died with that, and they won a Super Bowl with Brett Favre doing that, and he's one of the great quarterbacks who's ever played the game doing that kind of stuff. And if Green Bay falls apart because of that one loss, they're obviously not a good football team, and they don't deserve it anyways, you know? So
absolutely. And, you know, with Favre in that locker room, and Favre's obviously the captain of that team, you know, not just on the field, but emotionally and spiritually and in the locker room, you know, they should definitely be able to overcome that. I don't see that being an issue just because they've been through it all before. Favre's been there for so – I mean, isn't it Favre's, like, 17th season? It's unbelievable how long he's been there.
He was drafted, I believe, in 91 or 90. Yeah, right around there.
You know, I think that's something that they can definitely overcome. You know, Green Bay, I mean, they need to do something with their running game because that's really what killed them is their inability to run the ball and grind that and run that clock down. Obviously, they have a ton of injuries in the backfield. It's almost like who doesn't these days in the NFL? But they really weren't able to kind of move that ball when they needed to, and it put more pressure on Brett Favre, and when Brett Favre is under pressure, then he does stupid things like that. So, you know, it was nothing new.
Staying on this week, B, just one more thing on this week, and then I want to ask you about a player for the Seahawks who's being forced to retire. I think you know where I'm getting at there. Is Houston 22, Miami 19. Have you ever seen a kicker win a game like Chris Brown did, 5-for-5, including field goals from 54-54? He did that twice, and a 58-yarder with time expires. Have you ever seen a kicker win a game like he did?
Man, that was unbelievable, and it's funny because, you know, with the new thing this year about in the NFL, players are wearing the C. And I believe it's three players, and they're actually voted by the team, and the players vote. And, you know, there's some star players that have the C. Obviously, Peyton Manning's wearing the C. You know, there's some star players that aren't wearing a C. Ocho Cinco, Chad Johnson, does not. But you see some kickers wearing it every now and then. And, you know, in Buffalo, the punter wears the C. And you're like, how bad are they if the punter is the captain of the team? Chris Brown is like, wears the C in Houston. And, man, I mean, did he ever pull that game out for them? You know, you really saw Miami. I mean, these guys are trying so hard to get off the schneid, to get a game in their pocket. Obviously, the injury to Trent Green, they kind of rally around Chet Lemon, and to lose on a field goal like that. Yeah, he absolutely won that game for them, you know, no doubt about it. And listen, Houston is continuing to do great things with a lot of injuries. And they're, you know, listen, they're playing three receivers that you probably couldn't name.
Chris Chambers, Ted Ginn Jr.
on Houston.
Oh, Houston! Oh man, there's James Jones.
James Jones on Green Bay.
Jacoby,
Jacoby. Who's out?
He's out.
You have Kevin Jacoby, who was their punt return, was playing a little bit of receiver. He's out for the year now. Amon Green was injured, so they have a lot of injuries, and they're still doing good. And how good is the AFC South?
Yeah, and how good is Matt Schaub? Jackson,
yeah, Schaub really looks good. And it was, you know, it's so funny with him because, you know, he literally, I don't even think he started a game in Atlanta. He'd kind of come in and do like mop-up duty, and no one really knew what they were getting when Houston went and lured him away. And I mean, that has to be one of the biggest off-season acquisitions. Absolutely. He's playing great football.
Yeah, Atlanta Beach, if you want to do it, we'll see what Schaub does. The same team, of course, that did trade Brett Favre away. I believe they were holding on to, was it Chris Miller or Jeff George they were banking on at that time? So, right? That's what they did.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, absolutely.
That's what they did. And Beej, last thought on the games going on. Then I want to ask you a couple games coming up this week. The timeouts before kickers are kicking field goals. We saw Buffalo try to pull it off last night and Monday. Talk about cheeky.
Yeah, you know, listen, it's totally legal. You know, and I remember, you know, it's something that you kind of saw in college a lot more than you'd see in a pro, you know, ice the kicker. You'd see it every now and then, usually the playoffs.
Well, you know what, Beach, I think of it in free throws in college basketball. That's where you really see it, you know?
right. The shooter, right?
Yeah, they'll call it like six times if they have six timeouts left. You know, the guy will get to the line, dribble a couple times, timeout, and then he's got to go to the bench again. He'll come back, dribble a couple times, timeout. Ugh.
I mean, the one thing that I think as far as, you know, the rule itself is if the coach is going to call it and the ref knows the coach is going to call it, that the whistle should be blown, you know, before the kicker is in motion. And you snap the ball, the kicker's in motion, the ball sails through, no one knows what's going on. I'd like to see it called a little bit earlier, but at the same time, listen, it's totally legal. It's a game, and these are professional athletes. And the bottom line is, you know, if Sebastian Janikowski makes that kick once, he should be able to make it again. And if he doesn't, unbelievable. Is it cheeky? Of course it is. But it's totally legal. And listen, I mean, it just throws a whole new wrinkle into the game, doesn't it? I mean.
Yeah, sure. I every time I've seen it, I remember it was Denver did it, and then Oakland did it. And then it is sure entertaining to watch. I'll give it to you that way. Every time,
yeah,
I'm yelling.
Absolutely. You never know. And I mean, the fact that this week was the first time we saw the kicker make it, I'm kind of surprised. I mean, like, listen, these guys are professional athletes. They shouldn't be bothered by stuff like that.
On to week six coming up in the NFL, where if you're a fantasy footballer, good luck like me. Bills, Broncos, Lions, Colts, Steelers, and 49ers. Beej, in my league, we play two running backs. I've got LT, my sole man in the backfield this week, so what am I going to do? But the big game, battle of the undefeateds, New England at Dallas. This is the one everybody's going to want to see.
What you're going to do is you're going to talk trade with me later on tonight. But in New England, Dallas, I mean, what a great game. And you know, the game brings even added importance with both teams coming in undefeated. I believe it's the fourth or fifth time, maybe even in NFL history, that two undefeated, in the modern era of NFL, that two undefeated teams are playing this late in the season. Going to obviously be a fantastic football game. Looking at the line, you have the Pats giving up four on the road. I'm taking the Pats because after what I saw last night, listen, I mean, Dallas really showed some things in coming back and keeping coming down the field and putting points on the board and winning that game. And that shows a lot of heart and a lot of character, and that's something they can build on. And I think that it makes Dallas absolutely, a team to watch in the NFC, which I think is definitely a weaker division than the AFC. And I think Dallas is really going to do some things. However, New England's, like, rolling, man. I mean, no one can even touch these guys. The undefeated talk's way, way too premature for that. But for someone to beat them, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know how you beat this team. And they keep getting players back. You know, Rodney Harrison's back in the backfield. You know, Adalius Thomas, we talk about huge offseason acquisitions. You know, they went and got him from Baltimore. I mean, he's an absolute beast on the defensive line. New England is just so solid. I don't know how to beat them. And you know what? I'll lay a couple points and I'll roll with the Pats.
Well, and you know what, BJ, the thing I'll do is, you know, I talked about at the top, you agreed with me, is the inconsistencies at quarterbacks. Take the proven quarterback against the young kid every time, you know? I mean,
yeah,
Romo.
Absolutely. And, you know, Tony Romo, for him not to, I'm really starting to like this guy, even though I really don't want to, because it's the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, how boring is that? But, you know, with the adversity that this guy has faced with the Seattle and the botched, holding the kick, then throwing, you know, five picks two nights ago and coming back and doing it, or last night and coming back and winning the game. I mean, this guy really has a lot of character, man, and to knock it down on yourself and to keep going out there and to keep throwing the ball, keep heaving it downfield, I mean, that says a lot about this guy.
Yeah, keep it going, Beach. We don't have much time today. I'm interviewing right after the break one of the heads of the World Rock, Paper, Scissors World Championship, which will be going on Toronto on the weekend. 10,000 entries, and they have a $10,000 jackpot.
It was in Vegas last year, actually.
I thought it's in Toronto. Maybe it was like the Vegas competition. I'll ask him. I don't know. Was it in Vegas?
Call Rock.
I said, you know, that's how out of it I am that I said paper. You know, like you said it and like.
Well, you won.
I did. Beach, it's a tough. I'm still hungover from Friday. Is that possible?
With you, anything's possible, Daryl.
You've seen me go some days. I just go a little too overboard than my body can handle, you know. But I can keep going for some reason. I don't quite get it, but nonetheless.
A little engine that could.
I was trying. Nobody would come for pancakes with me at 2 in the morning, but what are you going to do?
Only in Vegas, my friend. Only in Vegas. I'll tell you one game I do like on the board.
Yeah.
For next week is the Tennessee Titans getting points in Tampa Bay. After last Monday, Vince Young going into New Orleans and really taking it to the Saints, I think I've been turned on Vince Young. I think I'm on to the Titans now. I really was doubting it, but these guys have won so many games in a row. They've covered so many spreads in a row, and even more so, they've covered even more spreads in a row as an underdog. Right now, the line's at 2.5. If that thing goes to 3, I'm putting my car on it. I really like Tennessee. Tampa Bay, you know, I showed some promise, and I think that they're better than most people thought they'd be this year with Jeff Garcia there. But they are so injured in the backfield. They're down to their 4th and 5th string running backs. The 5th string running back has actually never played in the NFL, and I think that kind of depth. And having to replace that many players in such a key position is going to catch up to them. And Tennessee's defense, as we saw that Monday night, is starting to play really, really good as a unit. I like Tennessee on the road plus the points.
I'm a Jeff Garcia guy. I think once you get past Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, on any given day, he can be a better quarterback than the other guy and win you the game. I know Michael Pittman's out. I got Cadillac. He's out too. But, you know, Beach, I'm kind of agreeing with you, but if I got to say, just to be different, I'll say Tampa Bay.
Okay.
You notice I didn't even have a good argument there. Did you catch that?
No, you didn't. With the exception that Jeff Garcia is your go-to quarterback Brady and Manning.
He's number 3 in the league, man, on any given day. I'm a huge Jeff Garcia guy. All right.
Well, thank God it's 1994 in the CFL.
Go Stampeders. New Orleans. Actually, it was Doug Flutie for them back then, just so you know that. Doug Flutie. Any other games, Beach? Give us 2 more.
Another game that I like is I like the Cardinals. They're laying points at home. They have the Panthers coming in. You know, we've already talked about how you know, I think Kurt Warner is really playing very well in that system. You're getting Anquan Boldin back on the offensive side of the ball. And even another tool for that Arizona offense. And I think those guys are buying into Wisenhet's system, and I think they're starting to play better, and I think that they will be a better team with Kurt Warner than they were with Matt Leinart. On the flip side of the ball, Carolina comes in. Jake Delhomme is now out for the season. They announced that yesterday.
Did you hear what he's out with?
He has a reconstructive elbow surgery.
You know what he's called, what he's got. He's got Tommy John surgery coming.
Oh, Tommy John. Okay,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
There you go.
And the most bizarre thing about that injury is the guy's always injured doing nothing. He, threw the ball, and then his, elbow fell apart.
Yeah.
But anyways, David Carr is the backup there in Carolina. You know, obviously, we all know David Carr from you know, Houston's number one pick and the face of the franchise there for the last couple of years. He's been playing really hurt. We saw him leave the game last week. We saw undrafted free agent Matt Moore come in, play decent in a couple snaps before David Carr came back out of the locker room. Apparently, David Carr's back is a mess. Guy's getting cortisone shots in there every couple hours. I like Arizona, and I'm going to lay the points with them.
One more, Beach. One more, and we'll let you go.
One more, huh?
New Orleans at Seattle. Give us your pick there.
Yeah, it's funny because that's a game that I don't even really want to bet just because, I have this thing, and you know, Daryl, you know, we've made plenty of football bets before and talked plenty of football, and you know, you can bet on a streak to continue many times. you can only bet on a streak to end once. Or only win a bet on a streak to end once. And my problem is I'm always betting on the streak to end. And I always find myself losing. And so, you know what, I'm going to take the Seahawks. They're giving up 6.5. They're at home. Yeah, as we all know, Seattle's an extremely tough place to come play. And New Orleans, Drew Brees is obviously pushing it. His receivers can't hold on to a ball. The defense is a mess. I think the Saints' problems are going to get worse before they get better. I haven't seen anything that's going to lead me to believe that they're going to go on the road into Seattle and beat the Seahawks at home. And listen, after Seattle's performance in Pittsburgh to the team they lost the Super Bowl to last week, I would certainly hope that there's some guys in that locker room that are going to want to go out there and kick some ass. Obviously, losing Deion Branch, DJ Hackett's already out. It's going to come down to Sean Alexander, running the ball well, running out the clock, grinding the clock, Matt Hasselbeck finding other receivers and winning that game. I can't imagine that the Saints are going to get back on track in Seattle.
One thing I'd like to see Seattle do, Beach, very soon, if not even this week, next week, or at no later than early next year, but I'd like to see it ASAP, is bring out Mac Strong. He suffered a career-ending back injury, apparently, and 15 years in the NFL, and what a fullback he was for Seattle, leading the way for Sean Alexander, and I assume Ricky Waters in the bunch, though.
A little Chris Warren, perhaps.
Yeah.
You know what else would be great is if when they bring him out, they fire Mike Holmgren.
Why not? Why not? Awesome. BJ, what are you throwing? I'm throwing dynamite. What are you throwing?
Yankees suck t-shirts.
Yankees. I don't know. That was apparently my rock, paper, scissors throw, so I'll have to ask Graham what that means. Rock, what do you throw?
Can I leave you with words of advice
yeah.
for all the Yankee fans out there?
Yankee fan, go.
Yankees suck. Tory swallows.
Okay, I don't know what that means. Beach, thank
you. Yeah, think about it. It'll come to you in a couple minutes.
I don't want to. I don't want to. Beach, thanks a lot. All right, everybody, we're going to take another break. You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM. When we're back, we're going to interview with Graham Walker from the World Rock, Paper, Scissors World Championships. It's going to be in Toronto on the weekend. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Last year, CITR 101.9 FM started its very first fun drive, and the response was fantastic. You, the listening public, donated your money and your vehicles. You included CITR as the sole recipient in your wills and your estate planning. Many of you even donated your internal and vital organs to CITR. For that, we thank you, and
we're doing it all over again!
Starting Monday, October 1st, CITR presents its second annual fun drive. Please help CITR to continue the fine quality you've come to expect from Vancouver's greatest radio station. Tune in during October 1st to the 14th to hear amazing specialty shows and the fantastic prizes you can win with your pledges. This year, CITR is going for $20,000, so please show us you care and visit www.citr.ca for more info.
OMFG, I can't believe it's already that time of the year again.
The time where Mom makes her special pumpkin pie?
No, the time when CITR has their annual fun drive.
Oh, right, sweet. Last year I don't...
All right, everybody, sorry about that, but I'm sorry I'm late, Graham.
No, not a problem.
With us right now from... What is exactly... Are you the World Rock, Paper, Scissors World Championship Federation? What do you guys call it? It's the worldrps.com.
It's worldrps.com. We're the World Rock, Paper, Scissors Society, the governing body of the sport worldwide of rock, paper, scissors.
The World Rock, Paper, Scissors Society.
Yes.
That's what we're getting at here. And, Graham, I was just talking to my friend BJ Bash from Nevada, Las Vegas, comes on and talks football with us. There was a championship, he said, in Las Vegas last year or something like that?
There's a U.S. tournament that goes on there. We don't really like the way that they play it. They play more of this brash American style of RPS. It's not the game in its sort of pure form, so we don't really like to talk about that too much.
Okay, why are you guys the pure form, Graham?
Well, we are the pure form because, we attract, the big difference with their event is that was a Budweiser promotion where they flew in a bunch of people from around the U.S. to play. Versus at our event, everybody who comes is flying in on their own dime. they are paying their way. We got players from Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, UK, all coming in simply because they want to be the world rock, paper, scissors champion. And it creates a completely different vibe, you know, when you get people who are sent versus people who are coming on your own, they're, you know, paying their own way to be there.
What do you mean they send people? I don't quite understand. They actually pay people to come?
Well, it was a Budweiser promotion, so they had some local beer reps,
I see.
And they would win, and then so you get some guy who got tapped in a bar to play rock, paper, scissors, and then he happens to win, so then he goes. So you're not getting the keenest players. You're getting the people who happen to be there at a bar some night.
I see.
So it's a completely different style.
Guys, how many entries do you have? It's a $10,000 grand prize. Is that what it is?
Yeah, $10,000. We have about 500 players. It's actually, we run the world's largest rock, paper, scissors competition. We're in the Guinness Book of World Records now.
Wow.
You know, which is nice. People will be bringing out all the most devious strategies in the world in order to get what we sort of refer to as the largest slice of pizza in the world, because it's rock, paper, scissors, as you know, is usually used to figure out who gets the last slice of pizza.
Guys, we've actually sponsored people to go into your tournament before. I don't know if you know that. CITR Radio, we had two people go, and one of our guys got eliminated in the first round. Adam actually won a round. He actually won a round, then got eliminated in round two. But they told me it's a complete carnival. It's a circus down there. People are in outfits. It's crazy. And he said it's pretty much a drunk fest also. That's sort of what I got out of it.
Well, you know, Rolling Stone magazine wrote an article about us, and they said that the World Rock, Paper, Scissors Championships are kind of like a Star Trek convention, except with binge drinking and much better-looking women. And, you know, they're right, because, you know, rock, paper, scissors, it's one of the most progressive sports in the world, and we have no banned substance list. So we don't get any of those Miriam Jones problems of having to strip away gold medals from people. We leave it up to the athletes to determine themselves, you know, what's right for them. If they feel a beer will help them out, that's fine. And for a lot of players, strategy is to, like the current world champion, he doesn't play till later on. There's going to be a lot of players doing their best to get him really drunk, you know, so because they think that might give them an edge, you know, which has happened in the past. So, you know, people come in teams. So they are heckling when it's time for you to play, and if you're not prepared for it, there are guys heckling you. The whole team is against you, and the lights, the cameras, all the media that's there, the attention. It's actually like, you know, you can be a deer caught in headlights, and that's when people can start taking advantage of other people at sort of the professional level, because it is a zoo, but it's very much controlled chaos. We have a ref that's there that's officiating everything, so everything's done above board, and you know ultimately it's a serious yet really fun event.
And what if somebody, because I interview a lot of people I've done in the past from the Federation of Competitive Eating, okay?
Right.
I've interviewed those guys, and if a guy throws up, he's automatically thrown out during an eating competition. What if during this drunken fest there is some vomiting or, you know, a guy's passing out and he's playing? I mean, do you sort of say, okay, you're out, or is a guy allowed, no matter how drunk he is, to stay in there and play?
Well, you know, it's obviously the referee's call. If a guy can't make his throws, then you know he will be thrown out. You know, it's similar as if you were you know playing in the Super Bowl and you couldn't stand up, they would probably take you out. It's a very similar kind of thing. But you know, as long as you're there, as long as you're coherent, you can make the signs. You know, it's really not that difficult a game, so you know people should be able to do it. But we don't have problems with people like being so drunk they can't stand or anything like that. It is a fun event. Yes, people are drinking and they're having a good time, but it's not like it's just a university drunk fest or anything like that.
Right. No, and I will say, you mentioned a Star Trek convention, but with better looking girls. Adam sent me some pictures. Definitely are cute girls at your event. I won't deny that.
Well, that's the interesting thing is that, you know, I've heard a lot of, you know, girls. The funny thing is a lot of girls go, you know, this is one of the best places to meet guys because you meet fun people. That's the interesting, you know, people think it's like the bad end of a Star Trek convention, but the kind of people that come to this event are the kind of people that are not afraid to hop on a plane, fly halfway across the world, and, you know, come to this event. So basically you're getting a whole pile of 500 people in a room, you know, who all share the same sense of humor, and it just makes for a really fabulous night. So basically, you know, people that think, rock, paper, scissors is stupid and dumb and stuff like that, they don't come out. You just get a whole pile of people that are, you know, a whole pile of fun people out, and that makes for a great event.
And it's one, two, throw, right? You're throwing on three.
Now, that's the North American prime. We play by the international prime, which is 1, 2, 3, shoot. And the reason we do that is to give the players one more prime in order to sync up. Because that's one of the things the refs have to watch for is people get eager and they start doing their prime before the other person, and then it gets off kilter and someone might throw their throw first. So that extra prime allows more time for the players to get in sync.
So it's 1, 2, 3 throw. I don't like to say shoot. Shoot's like an East Coast thing, okay?
Well, I guess I'm more East Coast, so I say shoot, but it doesn't really matter. 1, 2, 3 go, 1, 2, 3 show, 1, 2, 3 shoot.
Show? They say that too?
Some people say that.
How come Dynamite was never able to really catch on in rock, paper, scissors? Because it's something you see in movies and everything.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what I grew up with in my neighborhood, and that's one of the inspirations for creating the World Rock, Paper, Scissors Society in order to preserve the roots of the historical three throws of just rock, paper, and scissors. But the big problem with Dynamite is the fact that there was two problems with it. One, when I was a kid, we'd always fight about what happened when paper met dynamite. Would it snuff out the wick or blow up the paper? So here you have this game about conflict resolution, and you're getting in a fight about what happens when two throws meet. But the bigger problem is if you could resolve that difference, they would say, okay, fine, it blows up the paper. Well, now you have a throw that wins or loses more often than the others because you have four throws in the mix now. So it destroys the balance of the game. So that's part of the mandate of the World RPA Society is to preserve the roots of the game.
So you wouldn't do it where just, like, I remember watching a movie and the guy threw out dynamite and he goes, what beats dynamite? And the guy goes, nothing beats dynamite. So you won't have just an unbeatable thrower all night long. It's just people throwing dynamite, dynamite.
Nah, think about it. If I had a pair of scissors, snip, the wick is gone. You know, dynamite doesn't beat everything. But there's every neighborhood has got their own set of throws. There's God, Well, Water, Spock, Texas Longhorn. You know, we get them all, and you know, everybody thinks that their extra throw should be included in the game, and it's absolutely stupid because you'd need a minimum of five elements in order to restore the balance in the game. But then ultimately, even with the five elements, you're playing the exact same game. You're just changing the names of what rock and scissors and paper are, so it doesn't actually add any complexity at all.
Graham, what's the most common throw? What is it? I would guess
Take
that it's rock. I would guess rock.
Well, exactly right, and that's why at the World Championships, rock is for rookies. We've seen rock over-index by up to 37%, usually around 36% in competitive level play, and that's because people feel the old Bart Simpson, good old rock, nothing beats rock. But you'd be surprised.
Hold on, to cut you off there. And Lisa's going in her head, poor old predictable Bart, always throwing rock.
Exactly. And that's the game in a nutshell. Like, the Simpsons is brilliant in that. It's a brilliant insight into the game.
Because all three, if you throw rock three times in a row, it's a hammer, right? Is that what it is?
No, it's called the avalanche.
Avalanche, damn it. I forgot it.
But think about it. You know, you're at the World Championships, and your opponent has just thrown rock twice in a row.
Yeah, it's now time to deliver with the avalanche. Once you throw two rocks, you got
to... going to do? Is that why he's doing it? To lull you into thinking? And that's the kind of mind games that goes on. There's, to me, if I was at the World Champs, there's nothing worse than someone throwing two rocks at me, because you just, you know, are you going to complete that thing or not?
Do you play, Graham, or you're just running
the
show?
Well, I wrote the book, The Official Rock, Paper, Scissors Strategy Guide, so I had to play at one point, but they, you know, they sort of say that those that can do, those that can't, write books about it and organize tournaments for it. So I haven't been able to compete professionally. I've always been too busy running the events.
Awesome. Graham Walker from the World Rock, Paper, Scissors Society. It is this Saturday, their big world championship, a $10,000 grand prize in Toronto. Where is it in Toronto for those that are listening and are considering flying out, Graham?
Well, it's down at the Steam Whistle Brewery.
Steam Whistle Brewery, okay.
Which is in beautiful, right beside the CN Tower.
Okay, we did sponsor people once, Graham. I'll see if I can hunt some guys down again.
Great.
And Graham, what's it called? What are the other? So rock is an avalanche three times in a row. What are the other? What's scissors three times in? What's the
scissors three times in a row is known as the toolbox, and then paper three times in a row is known as the bureaucrat, or in some places confetti.
We were told that our musician here, Zach, he actually said it. It was Zach Gray. He actually said it that bureaucrat is paper three times in a row.
Exactly.
So
Very good.
We got some educated folk here. We got some educated folk. Graham, thanks a bundle, and don't give up on rock. It will win one of these days.
Well, it always comes back into fashion. So great talking to you, Daryl.
Thanks, Graham. Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We've got one more song from Lotus Child to finish off the show. Thanks so much for coming in, guys. Ah, kiss throwing my way. Oh, I feel so lucky. Anyways, one last question about our one last pitch for our fund drive, 822-8648, 822-8648, or 822-1242, 822-1242. I'd like to thank my guest, Howard Samura from the Vancouver province, Julio Caravetta. I don't know if you heard that. He had to leave because he was working as a fireman today, and they got called in the middle of the interview. He had to leave. BJ Bass talking football, and Graham Walker. Are you more knowledgeable on the rock, paper, scissors? No.
I know they prefer RPS.
Okay, there we go. All right. Promote your shows, guys. Thanks so much for coming up.
Over to me. Okay, I just want to encourage everyone to come down to the Plaza Club. A week from Thursday the 18th, we're playing with some great bands to raise money for Oxfam. So it's Thursday the 18th.
All right. Shall we tell?
Hey, you, what'd you see with your scepter in hand? Don't lie, what am I but a sick coffin? Oh, yo, pretty man with your pretty demands. Is there an honest way that I can knock 'em dead? That's right now, the capital's deserted, it's returned to the ruins now. Don't be scared now, don't be scared. The body's everywhere. The bodies of banished poets. They arrive boxed up in frozen trains and delivered in the night to the butcher man who asks no questions. And all of a sudden, songs are budding, hearts are flooding through the square, through the square, through the vines. They wind up pockets at the Cumberland Hotel. Don't be scared. The minor birds, they nest themselves in TV aerials as creepers creep across my pan. The bunnies everywhere, the silent decks of arcs litter the sea. The archaeologists, they start to sift the darkest cemetery. And now there's not enough, there's not enough, there's nothing there for me. Your eyes are bright, I can't tonight, I can't tonight. Oh, my friends, I do believe it's bigger than us both. And so, to open up the door and let it go. And I fell into your eyes of blue. When all the rest had come.
Thank you very much.
Want to brighten your teeth? We've got a new toothpaste whitener for you.
Oh man, I hate radio commercials.
Well, Sam, you don't have to be a hater anymore, because CITR is not dictated by commercial dollars. Instead, we just play music, sports, spoken word, and news programming that gives listeners what they want.
That's right. We've been running for 25 years on the FM dial as the campus and community radio station. Now we need you, the listeners, to donate towards our funding drive so we can keep bringing you the best local, independent, and rockin' tunes in town.
Your chance to do so is now with our second annual fund drive.
Fund drive.
Around the corner. Call into the station in October and help us fund another great year of great music.
Support what you like and what you want to hear.
Donations will go towards renovation of the on-air studio, better production facilities for training and programming, better equipment for remote broadcasts, and more.
Tune in from the 1st to the 14th of October to donate.
CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Listener-powered radio.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, well, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me. Won't you stand by me? Just as long as you stand by me. When the sky that we look upon tumble and falls, and the mountains crumble to the sea, I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear. Just as long as you stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me, oh won't you? Stand by me, oh won't you? Stand, won't you? Stand by me. Darling, darling, stand by me, oh won't you? Stand by me, oh won't you? Stand, won't you? Stand by me. When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light. Tumble to